The Pat Kenny Show
with MasterCard. Share in extraordinary experiences all over the world with priceless cities at priceless.com.
This is News Talk.
My next guest, the man behind the Irish Mammies 3-book series, has just released his new and debut work of fiction. It's called Andvine, Ready for My Close-Up. The story captures the life of a rural Irish mammy with Colm's usual perceptive wit, and it covers themes like rural isolation, globalisation and small-town politics in a very humorous and compelling way. Colm O'Regan, good morning and welcome.
Thank you very much, Pat. Very elegantly put there. Thank you.
Yeah, you wrote it for me.
Exactly.
Now, who is Anne Devine?
Anne Devine is, she's from a village called Kilsudgeon, which is a made-up village in county somewhere in Ireland. She's a carer by profession, so she looks after local old people. She's a mother of four, and the youngest son is heading out the door to college. And so for the first time, she has an empty nest.
And no one to mind.
No one to mind. And she's not exclusively a mammy. She does other things. But she's just start at realizing as he heads out that there's a small gap has opened up. And at this moment, the local Tidy Towns gets set up and her eldest daughter volunteers her, which is a classic eldest daughter move, volunteers her to become vice chairperson of the Kilsudgeon Tidy Towns. And the story kind of comes from there and what happens when a TV show to rival Game of Thrones called Celts, the Hound of Destiny, comes to film in Kilsudgeon. So the book kind of what happens when those worlds collide goes from there.
Okay. Do they have broadband in Kilsudgeon?
No, Kilsudgeon, it's a village recovering from a bypass. And it it's one of those places where broadband has been promised many times. Like lots of promises get made to different communities in Ireland. In poorer urban communities, there are promises of regeneration, similar in rural areas. But one big promise that constantly gets broken in rural Ireland is the delivery of rural broadband. So they have to make do. There's an area, there's one place known as Dooney's Turn, where there's enough 3G reception to get some stuff done. So people go there with their phones. In fact, the guards go there to look to lock on to Pulse. Often the guards and the criminals might be next to each other at Dooney's Turn. So broadband is something that it's kind of a heavy, it's a way, a general low hum on, in people's minds.
Now, how would the world of international television then come in conflict with a Tidy Towns committee member?
Well, of course, in, like all good authors, I should say, in order to find out in detail, you would really want to read the book from your local bookshop. But it's something that I dreamt it up, but apparently it is something that it has happened to a lesser extent, you know, when Star Wars arrived in Shkellig Vihil, there'd be local concerns. And I know that apparently Game of Thrones had, there was some local, shall we say, eyebrows raised at different times.
But now they have a visitor attraction.
A visitor attraction. And it's always, I think it's always the way in rural Ireland, when something big arrives, it's different things to different people. Like a new factory, people say, oh, it's jobs, but they're knocking a forest or whatever. So yeah. It's along those themes that when something big comes in to a local area, it's not exactly manna from heaven. There are strings attached, and those strings kind of
give rise to conflict.
Yeah.
There's usually a Gombeen man in there somewhere. Have you got one?
Well, I have a local TD who is not based on anyone in real life.
Is he a party man or an independent?
No, he's an independent. He may have once been from one of the bigger parties. Again, bearing no resemblance to anything in real life. It's just,
does he have a brother?
He has several of his family are intertwined with the gene pool of local politics and also run a number of local companies. But he's...
But any resemblance to people living or dead is completely coincidental.
Coincidental, absolutely. And what I like about it is that in these areas, the local person, it's often that it's the petty Taoiseach, you know, that run local areas. And nothing's really changed in certain ways down through the years. There is central government, but often there's the local big man who is involved in a number of different pies, and he has a number of influences on Anne's life. Their paths cross a number of times. So Patsy Duggan, for your local, a Kilsudgeon man with Kilsudgeon at his heart, is the person to vote for coming up in any election.
Virtually every aspect of Irish rural life is covered, including the beauty contest.
That's right. One of the things I like about, because I'm from the countryside as well myself, and it's not like people down the country, when they put something on, they know what they're doing. They're self-aware, so they know that there's a bit of crack. So when they put on a beauty pageant called Miss Road Frontage, they know what they're doing here. They know there's a bit of a joke behind it, but it's part of Kilsudgeon's show, which is something that runs every so often. And it's that kind of, I think the rural Ireland has its own sense of humour that is different to the city sense of humour, and that's what I'm trying to
portray.
So
although people, because of Father Ted and all that, will send up these kind of things, the locals are not entirely serious about them
exactly,
anyway.
Exactly, yeah. Well, you know, it's always the class. You know the St. Patrick's Day Parade, yeah, where every St. Patrick's Day Parade down the country will have the Midlands correspondent will say, you know, luckily the rain didn't dampen the spirits, and then there'll be somebody eating an ice cream, and then there'll be a dramatic float showing some recent incident like the Lidl looting last year or the ATMs being stolen. Like it's that kind of crack that goes on, and it's a divilment down the country.
Of course, everybody knows who's responsible for each float anyway.
Exactly, so. Yeah, and it's. I guess there's an energy down there that, despite all the talk of, you know, the rural Ireland being on its knees and all that, there are still enough people there with a sense of divilment and a kind of surreal and almost anarchic sense of humour to keep it going.
You have a Nathan Carter-esque visit as well.
I don't know why you mention the name of a real country singer when there's no resemblance between Ryan Vegas and Nathan Carter, or indeed his hit song Roundabout and Wagon Wheel. But yes, there are a number. People can draw up any parallels they want. As they used to say in House of Cards, you might think that, Pat, but I couldn't possibly comment.
You say, though, it's a sort of an homage to rural Ireland.
It is.
It's not deriding it at all.
No, I mean, I like looking at Ireland as a country through the prism of rural Ireland, because there's not that much distance from here to the mythical rural Ireland. You know, it's only an hour away. Most people who live in the city are one or two generations are at most out of the countryside anyway. It's who we are in many ways. So how its attitudes are, the way it thinks about things is a huge reflection of us anyway. So writing about it is writing about Ireland as well.
I was listening to an interview this morning, though, about drink driving on a breakfast show here. And the guy who was on was bemoaning the fact that the new law, which would not make the two middle-aged ladies who share a gin and tonic from time to time, it would not put them over the limit. But they're so terrified now.
I know.
They think it might.
Well, yeah, everybody's afraid of eating the getting the sherry trifle kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like everything else, you know, there are laws there for very good reasons. What's always missing in Ireland in general is follow-up, is the bit that deals with the consequences of the law. So a law is a good thing because it saves lives. But what we never do here is, because a lot of the laws are made by people who don't experience the results of the laws, we don't follow up and bring in the rural
transport.
So it's
that other law, the unwritten law of unintended consequences.
Well, exactly, which, funny you should say that, is a huge part of this book as well, actually. It's what happened, you know, it's great fun with writing a novel is where when you set out a plot and then you find your characters taking decisions as a result of the thing that you put in on page four. And it's what I've enjoyed most, I think, about putting together the novel is, as you say, the unintended consequences.
Now, you had, I suppose, lots of experience in terms of the Irish Mammy books in capturing the voice of the Irish Mammy. But, you know, taking Anne Devine as a character who's a woman who's older than you are in life, and you're male and she's an Irish Mammy and you're not, trying to capture that voice and sustain it.
Yeah, it's. I hope I've done it right, and I am open to all input from anybody who reads it on bits that didn't quite sit. The good thing about it is she's one person, which means that not everybody will have a mammy just like her. Whereas when writing the mammy's books, you have to write like, typically, blah, 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 I might say this or whatever. Mm-hmm. But in this, I do get to choose. I base it a lot on what I love is eavesdropping and just getting snatches of conversation and then trying to extrapolate from that and build a character. It's like an opinion poll. It's not perfect, but it gives you an idea. And I often I'm just lucky to hear one line that will enable me to just paint the other 1,000 pixels in the photo. Like even just the other day, I was in the dump in Cork dropping off something, and somebody came in a hi-vis to talk to one of his friends who worked there. Mm. And then somebody else came in asking directions, and he asked the fellow who'd arrived, and your man either didn't work there or he was off duty. But what he said was, "I'm not here at all," which is just a perfect, what a perfect line. I could never have made that up. You know, it wasn't an existential statement. What he was saying is, there's no point in asking me the question. For the purposes of your question, I am not here. But it's those one lines that you just can hopefully construct a character and their voice and their attitude and their tone.
Well, many reviewers love Anne Devine and are wondering, is this it for Anne Devine, or does she live on?
Well, she is definitely living on in the second book I'm writing about her.
So she's already on the word processor.
She's already on the word processor, and she's... what's she doing this time? She's running for president. No, it's again, you know, adventures she gets up to through making small turns. You know, those tiny turns you make that spread out into much bigger, like a tiny angle at its point, and then it suddenly takes in a huge circle. So, I'm in the middle of our second adventure at the moment.
All right, so you're a very busy man. Have you still time for a story slam?
I do, yeah, that's right. One of my favourite jobs is the Dublin Story Slam. We tell, I emcee this thing where people stand up and tell true stories about themselves every month.
Have they got to be humorous or...?
No, sometimes the stories are tragic and sometimes they're humorous and tragic in consecutive sentences. That's one of the beautiful things about the human existence is how we laugh at funerals and cry at weddings. We have tragedy and humour often exist side by side, and these stories... some of them are just absolutely amazing. And as a novelist, which I can call myself now, I don't take the stories as inspiration. I take the fact that anything is possible as inspiration because of what of the true stories I hear. And I love also that they don't get tied up in neat coincidences. True stories have amazing twists, but they're not linear and they're not neat. Yeah. They're often very messy.
It's always a cheat for a novelist when they depend on the coincidence.
Yeah, it turns out it was the guy from the amusement park, you know, like in Scooby-Doo, which is great in Scooby-Doo, but in a novel can be kind of... It's one of the first lessons I learned in writing one.
It's funny, in terms of storytelling, the other day I was interviewing a man called James Wallman, I think is his name. He was talking about how to spend your time. And one of the lines in his book was about whoever... you know, remembers the 7 days spent poolside enjoying the sun, whereas that aircraft strike, the air traffic controllers, the terrible storm that your aircraft went through, or the lousy hotel, the bad food, the vomiting bug on holidays, that's the stuff of stories.
Well, exactly. You can't have drama without a dramatic tension, without some sort of point to give you the release afterwards. And I kind of use anything that bad that happens to me now. I generally, my therapy is to go, I'm going to put it in a book, because otherwise it's just good for mental health to say, what will I do with it?
Well, the current book is called Anne Devine, Ready for My Close-Up. It's published by Transworld and it's available to buy in all bookshops, priced around €15. And its author, debut novelist.
Novelist, Callum, yeah. I got the degree in writing now. I'm a novelist.
Thank you very much for joining us.